Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 83, Training Nutrition. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. My name is Gerard. I coach people for Ironman, Half Ironman, and other endurance events. I do this podcast as a way to share information and kickstart discussions within the team. If you like what you hear, please search for Mr. Smith's Iron Team to find out how to join the discussion. Last episode was all about using the right intensities at the right time. And the reason for this is to adapt to the training so that you can get better, stronger, faster from it. This week's discussion also leads to adaptation, but it's coming from a different angle, training nutrition, which is an absolute can of worms. There is so much stuff out there on the internet. You just don't know what to believe, where to start, what to do with it. So what I'm going to try and do here is give my simplified perspective on it. Now, before we talk training nutrition, I just want to talk briefly about day-to-day nutrition. I haven't done any podcasts on it this year because I think what I covered last year, episodes 70 to 76, really do capture it in the best way that I can right now. Okay, day-to-day nutrition is critical to your performance, and you might have heard me say that often the most important things we can do are actually outside of training. Nutrition is one of these. So recovery and adaptation, like we talked about last week, is another. And if you put as much focus onto those things outside of training as you do the training and the equipment and that kind of stuff, I guarantee it will improve your performance. So go back and listen to those previous episodes about day-to-day nutrition, really setting yourself up with a really healthy foundation. This week, we'll talk training nutrition. So I do need to put a bit more context around it. And what I'm talking about today is for people who are training multiple times a week to improve performance and with a range of intensities. If you are just recreationally active, this isn't as relevant to you. And also, I'm not talking here for the people who are extreme low-carbers, ketogenic people. Okay, that's just not an area I'm going to get into. I'm talking things that work well for most people most of the time. But I will also say, I'm not a nutritionist or sports scientist, very clearly. Everything I'm talking about here is partly my experience and partly what I've seen from those I coach. So again, what we're talking about here works well for most people most of the time, but it's going to be really important for you to put it into practice and figure out how to make it work the best for you. Okay, so with all of those disclaimers, why do we need nutrition and training? Well, number one is it helps us to perform better in tough workouts. Carbohydrate is the thing that fuels these tough workouts, and carbohydrate lowers the perceptions of effort. So if you take in carbohydrate, you can perform it better and, let's say, not suffer quite as much as you may do otherwise. We also need it to help us perform consistently in long workouts, long sessions, so that we're not fading towards the end. It's the training towards the end where we actually get the most benefit from because that's what's stretching us. So if we're fading or running out of gas at that stage, we're not going to get as much benefit from it. We also need nutrition and training to help us recover afterwards. And that is either for your next training or just day-to-day life. Okay, there's nothing worse than having a great training session but being smashed and lying on the couch for the rest of the day. And another reason is to prepare the gut for what it's going to do on race day. Race day nutrition will be a little bit different again, but this practice in it regularly within your training is going to prepare the gut so that you don't have to worry so much about issues on the day. Now, in a lot of cases, you can do training sessions without nutrition, but you might be compromising your performance in training, your recovery from training, and therefore your ability to adapt. So training nutrition is really important. Okay, that's why we need training nutrition in training. So let's now have a look at when do we need it. First of all, real simple, a short, easy session. I'm talking a 30-minute run, a one-hour ride. No, forget it. The intensity's low, the duration's not long, it's not going to tap you out. Just your what you have day to day is absolutely fine for that. Real simple. Put that one aside. Now, when we're talking intense training sessions, in my lingo, for me, this starts, if you are doing a training session with more than 15 minutes high intensity in it, or more than 30 minutes of medium intensity, yes, you want nutrition. Again, you can do these sessions without, but we're trying to perform well, as well as we can in them, and recover as well as we can afterwards. So, that was, if your training session has more than 15 minutes of high intensity, or more than 30 minutes of medium, yes, we want nutrition. Let's talk about long sessions. And in my books, long starts on the bike at 2.5 hours or longer, and on the run, 1.5 hours or longer. Again, yes, in these long sessions, we also want nutrition to perform in them and to recover from them. Now, swims kind of are somewhat covered in those already. There are schools of thought that in an event you don't get to take hydration or nutrition during your race, so you shouldn't in training. But hey, we're training here to build our performance. So even in swimming, consider it. Come back to an example later on. Okay, so that's when do we need it? Actually, a lot of the time. So what nutrition should we use in training? Okay, so remember a minute ago I was talking about those intense sessions, more than 15 minutes high intensity, more than 30 minutes medium. We want easy to digest carbohydrate. This is really probably going to be drinks and gels, those kind of things. Bananas are an option for something more solid, but we don't want to be having really thick, heavy, solid food that is going to be tough to digest. We're working at intensity. We don't want the body to do anything other than work hard for the performance we're trying to achieve. So intense sessions, easy to digest carbohydrate, probably drinks and gels for most people. And a long session. So those were a ride that's longer than 2.5 hours or a run that's longer than 1.5 hours. We want to take in mainly real food on this. We don't need, we're not doing intensity, particularly at this time of year as we're building our base, okay? We're doing our long sessions are pretty low intensity. So we don't need to be shoveling in the mainline sugar to get straight into the bloodstream. We're looking for food that will stop us from being hungry, that will sustain us, that will slowly digest and give us slow release energy all the way through. So sandwiches, bars, balls, rice cakes, these kind of things. Things that are mainly carbohydrate. It's okay to have a bit of protein and fat in these, but mainly carbohydrate. And like I said, we don't need to be, at this time of year in training, mainlining the gels and drinks all the way in our long sessions. These are lower intensity sessions. So, that's simple. So far we've covered when we need it and what kind of things to use. So, how much and how often do we take it? This is where it starts getting really murky, okay? There's no perfect answer. What you have to do is you have to consider what you last ate and when you last ate it. Okay? Did you have a huge pig out of a meal just a couple of hours ago? You probably don't need anything before your training. Or have you been, is it a long time since dinner? You've been sleeping overnight. It's now morning time. It's a long time since you've eaten. So maybe you do need something before. So we need to consider that last meal. Snacks or things that you have before your training to fuel it. Things that you have during and things that you have after. So that all makes up your training nutrition. It's not just the stuff that you have in the middle of your training. Before, during, after, it all contributes. So let's think about it this way. If you are training first thing in the morning, it's quite some time till you've eaten. So having something to eat beforehand is usually a really good idea. I'll come to some exceptions and things afterwards, but let's be clear, it's a long time since you've eaten. We want to give the body a bit of fuel to immediately access as you're warming up, as you're getting going. Having something to eat beforehand is good. If you're doing an intense session on the trainer, then you want something pretty simple and easy to digest. Whereas if you're going out for a long session on the road, then you might want to make time to have breakfast before you go. Okay, so last meal, something before. Then during. Like I said before, earlier on, talked about the easy to digest carbohydrate for the intensity, mainly real food for the long stuff, and after. Okay, if you're going to eat a main meal straight away, then do so. Okay, but just make it extra big and with a big serve of protein because of the training that you did. If you can't eat a meal straight away for any reason, you've got to drive home or other things to do which mean you can't eat straight away, then you really want to get in some form of protein and carbohydrate within 30 minutes of finishing. And you might hear chocolate milk quoted as a good example. That's absolutely a great thing. There's various, maybe a protein shake, a protein bar and something else to eat, carbohydrate and protein just to kickstart that recovery process until you can next have a main meal. And again, you make that main meal big because you've been training, been burning extra energy. So your goal through this before, during and after is to replace all of the energy that you burned. Okay? Now, this is where, again, like I said, it gets murky because it's really hard to quantify this. Counting calories is no fun, and I wouldn't ask anyone to do that for the long term. But it can be really useful just to kind of calibrate how much food you're eating and how much you need. Because, and until we do something like that, we're really just guessing. Some people intuitively are really good at it, but a lot of people, not so much. So counting calories can actually help. Don't obsess about it. Don't do it forever. Just try it a few times to get an idea. So with a little bit of work, you can roughly work out how much energy you're burning and how much you're consuming. Take cycling, for example. If you have a power meter, it'll give you a pretty good estimate of the energy that you've burned. Look for the calories data on your Garmin or in Garmin Connect for the workout. It tells you how much you've burned. If you don't have a power meter and you train with heart rate, so long as you have set up your thresholds in your Garmin, your Garmin will give you a rough indication. Okay, it's only a ballpark, but it's better than nothing. For running, you can do kind of the same. Or if you just don't mind a little bit of maths, at the end of a run, you can go, I've burned approximately 1 calorie for every kilo of body weight per kilometre I ran. So, for example, one calorie per 1 kilogram of body weight per kilometre that you ran. So my example is a 70 kilogram person running 10Ks would burn around about 700 calories. Swimming and strength work, there's no meaningful way to estimate this. Don't go searching Google for ideas. It's just, it's rubbish. So have a go at it for your cycling or your running, just to get a very rough idea how much you're burning. And then you can do some quick calculations. If you're eating bars and things like that, you can just look at the nutrition information. You might want to just kind of weigh or measure something real food that you're eating just to get a rough idea. Again, don't do it forever. Don't obsess about it. Do it a couple of times just to get an idea. So then you can add up and you can go, what did I eat before? What did I eat during? What did I eat after? Have I covered all of that energy that I have burned? Okay, so here is the sticking point for some of you. I know some people are out to lose weight at the same time as working on their performance. And they go, well, the whole idea about training is to create a calorie deficit so that I can lose weight. Wrong. Okay, let's get this clear. Training and training nutrition is about your performance. If you are working on weight loss or body composition, then you need to deal with that in your day-to-day nutrition, the things that are happening outside of your training. Again, what I said early on, things that you do outside your training can have as as much, if not more, impact as the training itself. So think of those as very separate things. You really want to fuel your nutrition, fuel your training and your recovery for performance. That's what it's all about. That's what we're talking about here. So the key message, do not diet in training. I'll say it again, do not diet in training. Fuel your training. Okay, so let's have a think about just an example. I talked briefly about weighing and measuring things. Say you are doing that just for a couple of sessions. I'm going to use the example of an early morning high intensity trainer session that is going to burn 500 calories. So beforehand, I get up, it's early morning, don't really feel like eating a lot. But it's a long time since I've eaten. A bit of food to kickstart the system is good. So I'm going to have a banana, call it 100 calories. During the session, we're talking a high intensity session, I'm going to drink some sports drink to lower my perception of effort, to fuel the body, and to hit those hard targets. So that sports drink, that's another 100 calories. So I've had 200 calories before enduring. That leaves me 300 calories still to make up from that session once I'm finished. But also, still need to have breakfast to fuel through the rest of the day as well. So you can see there that we are working on the nutrition that we need for that session, but we also have to consider day to day what we need just to perform in life. Okay, that's a very rough example as to how you could go about doing some calculations. Okay, what about some other considerations? There's a bunch of other things. I've been talking heavily about nutrition, but hydration is really important too. And sports nutrition companies have really muddied the waters here because a lot of them have combined hydration and nutrition into one bottle. I'm talking about products like Perpetuum and Tailwind. They pitch them as complete nutrition solutions. Okay, but by combining both into one bottle, it means that we're consuming a lot of densely packed carbohydrate with less water than it ideally needs to digest. And so that's going to increase the risk of gut issues. Now, again, I know plenty of people who have had these products and say they're fine, but it's just a risk factor. Okay. So need to take that in consideration. I really like Stacey Sims' approach of separating the two, hydration and nutrition. So hydration in your bottle. This is lots of water. It does have a little bit of carbohydrate and some electrolytes. Now that carbohydrate, that is not there intended. Its primary purpose is actually to help the fluid be absorbed. A little bit of carbohydrate with water helps it be absorbed a lot better than just water. Okay, so that's your hydration. That's one separate thing. And a very rudimentary way to achieve this without getting too scientific is just dilute your favorite sports drink mix so that it meets kind of that criteria, a 3-4% carbohydrate solution. So that's your hydration there in your bottle. And then food is in your pockets, things that you carry separately and consume as you need those. So that way, you're controlling the balance of each. You can easily adjust for hot weather days, days where you need more of one or the other, or yeah, just whatever's going on, you can manage those separately. So do consider hydration and nutrition as two separate things. I also said at the start that I'm not aiming here at the real low-carb people, though. The really serious people in that area will have a different kind of approach. But what we do know is that, in general, men can do some training fasted and do it successfully, and men tend to do better on low-carb diets, whereas women tend to require more carbohydrate in training, and pre-workout nutrition is critical, as well as refueling within that 30-minute afterwards. And again, I'd refer you to Stacey Sims for guidance on this because she has done a lot of research, very clear about the differences, really great practical information. And again, on the low-carb front, you hear stories about people who are on low-carb diets and they'll go and do a 6 hour ride on nothing but water. Okay, it is possible, but remember, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. This creates a massive calorie deficit, and it will really affect your recovery and performance in either your next training or life in general. Okay, so look, I think I've covered more than enough for today. There's a lot to process there. You may need to re-listen to this again. For the team, I'm also doing a written summary, so I'll provide that out to our group. But I just want to summarize. Out of everything I've covered, really, really important, do not diet in training. Say it again with me. Do not diet in training. Training is about performance. You need to fuel that performance. Deal with your day-to-day nutrition separately. Okay? Training nutrition is not always healthy. So the rest of the day, you want to focus on nutrition for your health. Lots of veggies, sufficient protein, and the other things that go with it to suit your style of eating. All right, that's it. Go forth, fuel your nutrition and recovery, and be healthy day to day.